Blog Talk Radio.
Would love feel like love if we never felt pain? Maybe we're destined for storms to enjoy better days. Yeah. Would the night be so pretty if the stars ran away? Oh, it's dark, baby girl, but we can.
You're now tuned in to the Sade Champagne Show. Brought to you by Grind Hard Radio.
The Sade Champagne Show.
That's right.
Every Wednesday from 6 p.m. to 7:30, we live. Celebrity guest interviews, segments on health, wellness, fashion, entrepreneurship, spirituality, and more.
Good evening, everyone. That was Travis Miller with Shine. It's Sade Champagne, and welcome to episode 9 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio. Every episode is available on iTunes. Search the Sade Champagne Show, and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. Thanks to everyone for tuning in from all around the globe. You can listen to us live every Wednesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific on your mobile devices at 323-693-3043 or at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can tune in at any time. Thank you to Travis Miller for creating and producing my show's theme song and to Scott Swoosh for mixing it. If this is your first time listening, I'm a professional musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur. I have created, directed, and executive produced almost 200 charitable and inspirational events, including my popular Power of a Dream tour. I love mentoring, I love coaching, I love being authentically myself and using my platform to encourage, empower, and bring out the gold and treasure in others. Tonight's special guests are award-winning teenage powerhouse musical artist, performer, and radio host Nyara Collins for the New Artist Spotlight segment, and award-winning, best-selling author Rachel Thompson for the Who Wrote That segment. Rachel and I will be taking your calls and answering your questions live after her feature. Also tonight, our brand new Wellness Made Simple with Veronica segment, What's Going On with Christina Renee segment, featuring special guest, original cast member of Grind Hard Radio, Jit Chronicles, and a Tan Candy style segment and Q&A with Tanya Chisholm. Tanya will be answering your style and fashion questions right after her segment. Tonight during the show, two people will win free In-N-Out gift card. That's right, two people will win free In-N-Out gift cards. Keep listening to the show to find out how you can win. So I want to tell you guys about my recent engagements and performances that I've had, my speaking and performance engagements, and with my Power of a Dream tour. Last week, we were in Tulare County, and man, those students showed up and showed out. We had so much fun. It was a long trip because we are based in Ventura County and also LA County. Well, we're actually based all over the state, but the artists who came on this round of tour stops were me, Lisa Lee Walt, and Tri-C. Tri-C is based in L.A. County. Lisa and I are based in Ventura County. And so it was about a three-and-a-half-hour trip for us there and back. But Tri-C also came from L.A. County and then met us in Ventura County. And so we were there in town on Thursday. We did three shows at two different schools. Shout out to Lincoln Elementary Middle School students, and also shout out to Wilson Middle School students. And this was in Exeter, California, and Lindsay, California. And I just want to thank you guys for having us. And then Friday, I was one of the main speakers and trainers for Teen Voices Youth Leadership Summit, and that was a blast. I was so honored to be there and had a great time with the hundreds of students, and it just was phenomenal. I got to share with the young ladies about the power of encouragement, sisterhood. I also got to talk with the students about public speaking and speaking up and building confidence, and it just was a phenomenal day. And then Saturday, I was also the keynote speaker and workshop leader for the 13th annual Friday Night Live Youth Conference at Pacifica High School in Oxnard. And that was an amazing honor. That was my first time ever being the keynote speaker for a youth conference and a workshop leader, and I performed. And artists from my tour performed as well, Lisa Lewalt and Tri-C, and the students responded so well to us, and I'm ecstatic for what's ahead and so thankful for everything. I have a lot of other performance and speaking engagements coming up. To check out my full schedule, just go to Facebook page Sade Champagne to see everything. My Power of Dream tour is always booking new shows and performances. Next month, we will be in Westlake, Ventura, Santa Ana, and Santa Maria. We love traveling, and if you're looking to bring Power of a Dream tour, any of my award-winning, critically acclaimed artists or speakers to your city or event, please email me at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com for more details. That's sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com for more details. Lastly, I want to thank everyone who's been watching, sharing, and subscribing to all my new videos. I'm constantly writing new things. I am creating new songs, and I'm going into the recording studio soon. If you want to find out more about my musical journey and how you can be involved, check out GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. That's GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. I'm going to be live tweeting and posting on Facebook all show long, and I want to know your thoughts. Tweet me at SadeChampagne, or that's Sade Champagne, or Facebook me at Sade Champagne, Instagram I am Sade Champagne, and hashtag Sade Champagne Show or GHR to join in the conversation. Shout out to everyone who's already been tweeting me, Facebooking me, Instagramming, YouTubing, and emailing me. Your support amazes me. Okay, I want to shout out a very special young lady. She is one of my most devoted listeners. Her name is Mel E. in Argentina. Melly, I want to wish you a happy birthday. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. Just a little something, something. I wanted to wish you a happy birthday. You are so beautiful. Thank you for supporting and listening all the way in Argentina. Everyone, make sure you check her out, Twitter at Mila is my hero. And that's, once again, Twitter at Mila is my hero, to show her some love. Thank you, Mila. Mila is my hero, a.k.a. Mel E., for your support. You are amazing, and I'm so thankful unto you. All right, so we're going to get into our first segment of the night. This is Wellness Made Simple with Veronica. Join certified holistic life coach, clinical aromatherapist, and inspirational speaker, Veronica Esquivel Winters, to get some easy and practical tips on how to start living a holistic life. She brings unity to your mind, body, and spirit through her segment. Hashtag Wellness Made Simple to ask her your health and wellness questions and to join in the conversation.
Hi, and welcome to the Wellness Made Simple segment. I'm Veronica Esquivel Winters, and today I'm going to be talking about matcha green tea. What is matcha green tea, the benefits of matcha, and how can we incorporate matcha green tea in our diet? Matcha green tea is a powdered green tea. There's a specific way that matcha green tea is made. It starts with the green tea leaves being shaded from the sun for the last few weeks of their growth. By doing this, it increases the chlorophyll content and creates a beautiful green color. The leaves are then carefully grounded with stone grinding wheels to produce a fine powder. Green tea was powdered and dried into bricks for easy use in the Tang Dynasty in China. The idea was brought to Japan by a Japanese monk in the 1100s. The tradition of drinking powdered green tea has lost popularity in China until recent years. The tradition has kept on in Japan. Originally, only royalty and samurai warriors were given matcha because of how time-consuming and expensive it is to produce. There's quite a bit of benefits to matcha green tea. For example, it is high in antioxidants. Antioxidants are a magical nutrient and enzyme that are responsible for fighting against the negative effects of UV radiation, giving us younger skin, as well as preventing a number of life-threatening maladies. Just one bowl provides over 5 times as many antioxidants as any other food. It boosts memory and concentration. It helps produce dopamine and serotonin, which serves to enhance your mood, improves memory while promoting better concentration. It aids in weight loss. Matcha green tea increases metabolism and helps the body burn fat about 4 times faster than average. It also detoxes the body. Because the high levels of chlorophyll in matcha green tea, it is capable of naturally removing heavy metals and chemical toxins from the body. It also boosts your immune system. Just one bowl provides high quantity of potassium, vitamin A and C, iron, protein, and calcium. It also enhances calm. Matcha green tea has been used by Chinese Taoists and Japanese Zen Buddhist monks as a means to relax and meditate while still remaining alert. The amino acid L-theanine contains in the levels used to make matcha. L-theanine promotes the production of alpha waves in the brain, which induces relaxation without drowsiness. After hearing all the amazing benefits, I'm sure you're very excited to find out where to buy matcha and how to incorporate it in your diet. You can easily find matcha at your local health food store. I always recommend buying an organic brand. You can incorporate matcha green tea into your diet by making a yummy matcha green tea latte. I personally like to make mine with organic hemp milk or almond milk. You can add it to your smoothies. You can infuse it into baking goods. You can drizzle it over organic popcorn with a little bit of organic olive oil. You can add it to your chia pudding. There's even matcha green tea ice cream. You can get as creative as you like. This concludes our time for today. If you have any questions, please direct message me on Instagram at Elevate Holistic Life, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions, in particular about matcha green tea or anything else that's related to health and wellness. I look forward to our time on our next segment of Wellness Made Simple. Until next time, be kind, loving, and gentle to yourself because you are so worth it. This is Veronica Esquivel-Winters with the Wellness Made Simple segment on the Sade Champagne Show. Till next time, cheers to your health.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio. I want to get ready for our next segment of the night, What's Going On? This is where my castmates and I discuss hot topics. Tonight on the panel, we have, of course, multi-threat artist, host, producer, model, and designer, Christina Renee, who actually leads this segment. And we have a special guest, Jit Chronicles, who is the only original member of the Grindhard Radio Network. So how are you guys doing tonight?
Lovely.
I'm doing well.
Hey, Christina, how you doing, darling?
Good. How are you?
I'm wonderful tonight.
Awesome.
Good.
So, Christina, let's get going into the first topic you have for us tonight, girlfriend.
The first topic I wanted to discuss tonight is an incident that actually happened in Brussels, Belgium, yesterday. If you guys didn't know, to all the listeners who's listening, there was a terrorist attack on the Brussels airport and the Brussels metro line, which killed 31 people and wounded 270 others. Actually, today they found out that two of the bombers, one that was in the airport and one that was in the metro, were actually brothers. And I'm not going to use any of the terrorists and bombers' names because I feel like they shouldn't get the fame that they're searching for. So I'm just going to identify them as him and one of the brothers and suspects. So the main thing that everyone was questioning about this was, why did this happen after a few days after one of the terrorists that attacked Paris a few months ago was actually arrested in Brussels in Belgium? And then all of a sudden there was another attack, and they were like trying to see if there was a link between the attack in Brussels and this other gentleman being arrested for the attack on Paris. And after coming forth, the man who drove the one brother and the two other men to the airport, he came forth after seeing the displays everywhere, because they were just posting pictures of these gentlemen, like, because one of them actually is still at large, actually. So two of the bombs went off in the airport with the two gentlemen. The other one kind of just dropped the bomb and ran off. And that one actually didn't detonate. The police actually detonated the bomb elsewhere. But the driver who dropped these gentlemen off came forth and said, "Hi, I dropped them off. I know where I picked them up from. Would you like the address?" So the police actually went to that address and found ISIS flags. They also found the chemical compound that they were using. It's a cheap chemical compound they were using to make these bombs. And they went through the trash and happened to find other addresses and other places where they were linked to other people involved. And one of those people was the gentleman arrested in Brussels that happened to be the terrorist from Paris. So they believe that this is actually a really big ring of terrorism going on that's all linked. And they believe that the reason that this happened so fast was because since they arrested the man for the Paris attack, they felt that they needed to hurry up and complete other missions assigned by ISIS. Anything that you guys might want to add about this, or that you may know about what was going on?
You can go first, Chip.
Well, Christina, did you say they found the ISIS flag on the compound? I just wanted to make sure you said that.
Yes, they found the chemical products, and they found an ISIS flag. And just to let you know, ISIS did come forth and said that they were their men. So the ISIS is claiming that they actually were a part of ISIS. And now because they have identified the men and they're still searching for the other man at large, ISIS came forth again and said that they were going to send 400 more of their militant men into Europe for more damage. So this is getting a little bit scary. And as someone who actually recently picked up my mother from LAX, I did see that they had provided more security as far as IDing going in and out of the airport. But I think that's something that they should be doing worldwide anyway as a precaution, because it seems like the airports are one of the biggest places that are attacked. And also to elaborate, the metro station, you know, that's a crazy place to get caught in a situation like that, just because there's nowhere to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I figured that when I first heard the story that ISIS was connected to it. And, you know, for me, ladies, not only is it scary, it's something that's getting out of hand. And I truly do believe, you know, what happened in Brussels and Paris, it's all connected. It's one big ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's very sad to hear. And I figured that ISIS had something to be behind this, or had something to do with it. And it's all connected.
I did also want to elaborate that one of the ways that the police have been trying to keep track of these bomb makers is because they're buying the chemicals that are really cheap to find. It's TATP, which is a shorter acronym, but basically in order to make these bombs, you have to purchase a lot of hydrogen peroxide or hair bleach. And so, you know, officials are trying to keep track of how much hydrogen peroxide is being bought. And, of course, you have to buy it in such large bulk. More than likely, they're purchasing it online. And I'm just hoping that these online suppliers are also keeping a track on how much they're sending out to what places. Because, you know, if you're smart, you're going to order it, you know, as different people. And I'm sure that these terrorists have multiple identities. So,
yes.
You know,
absolutely.
It's just really scary. It is really scary. And I'm hoping that they can just shut down the ring. And I'm hoping that they've had men, you know, within the, you know, ring itself, bringing forth information that's helping to shut it down. And it makes me truly sad that they're doing this in the name of, you know, of a belief system. And I don't think that's right either. They're trying to justify it based on a religious belief when we know, and it's not fair to the other people that follow that religious belief, because now the terrorists have terrorized their belief system.
I feel like two thoughts, and some people may think this is extreme, but that's why it's my opinion, is I believe that this is the worst side of religion that you can get, because it all goes into, it begins to brainwash people to the point where they just you know, decide, you know, this is what I have to do with my life. You know what I mean? Because these people didn't start out this way. Obviously, we can argue mental illness and all those things with very deep respect to the mental illness community. But I think that it's honestly religion at its worst. I feel like, you know, to that point where, you know, people are so much are trying to earn favor, earn respect, you know, earn things, that it ends up turning whatever people thought was going to be something innocent into something dangerous. And then I also have a concern that how is it that, you know, and it's not just with them, but you can think of any other type of terrorist attacks or you know, tyrants that within our world, how is it that they're able to just continue doing things? We have very powerful people in this world and in the government. And so it just makes me question. I'm not a conspiracy theorist anymore, but I'm just saying that there's something that's tied into it, because they can be able to find certain things and the way they can find out stuff about people fast. Why is it that these types of things, nobody knows what's going on? You know what I mean?
Yes. I would like to add on to that, Sade. One of the brothers actually, well, two of the terrorists had very lengthy criminal records, but one of the brothers had actually been arrested before for opening fire on police officers during a robbery. And that one brother also was deported from Turkey back to Belgium, and they contacted Belgium authorities and said they wanted him in connection with terrorism, and that was the red flag right there. If you know, you have a lengthy criminal record, you're being deported out of another country, why is this other country not monitoring this person, especially with the length of the record and saying that they might have a connection with terrorism? I feel like there's so many officers out there arresting people and following people that they should not be following when they need to be following guys like this.
Absolutely. ISIS is something serious, and they're growing by numbers every day. So people, please be cautious and be aware.
And I personally feel like there needs to be an equal amount of physical force, and there needs to be an equal amount of spiritual support of people that need to maybe, who can either go over there and who are brave and, you know, enough to be able to talk with them and see how we can work through this. And of course, physical force as well, because I do believe that it's important to be able to defend ourselves.
I agree, Shadi.
Yes. I totally agree. The only thing I have to say about, the last thing I have to say about this is adding actually on to you guys saying about how to be alert and protect yourself. It's really scary because you can't necessarily protect yourself from a bomb, but, you know, as you were saying, they're going for numbers. They're going for places that's heavily populated. They're going for places that there are a lot of people or will be in and out of, and authorities can't keep track of, you know, the heavy foot traffic. So, just be very cautious. And, I agree with that.
I'm going to let Christina go into the last topic as we wrap up. This segment always goes by so fast, but I just want to encourage everyone, don't live in, regardless of, you know, of course you want to pay attention, of course you want to make wise decisions, but whatever you do, don't live in fear, because when you begin to live in fear, you cannot make wise decisions, and then what happens is, just like what the terrorists want, our entire lives are ruined, and we begin to live at their mercy. So I want to encourage everyone listening, regardless of how angry or upset or sad you may feel, you know, use wisdom, yes, use wisdom, but do not live in fear. Do not choose fear. Keep living your lives. That's very important. So, Christina, the second topic you have for us?
Yeah. The second topic actually ties in with the first topic, because after hearing news, after hearing stressful things, after, you know, your dog pees on your carpet, I mean, after all the craziness that happens in life, you just want to get a better night's sleep. And so for this segment, I just wanted to name a few of the things you can do during the day and at night to help you actually sleep better. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I'll start with during the day is make sure you expose yourself to sunlight. Sunlight is very important for your health. It provides you with vitamin D and the melanin as well. So make sure that you at least take a 10-minute walk or sit outside for 10 minutes and then just expose yourself to the sunlight, because the sunlight is what enlivens your body and what awakens your body. So spend as much time outside as you can, not all day. We don't want you to sunburn or, you know, get heat exhaustion, but just at least 10 minutes a day. Also have as much natural lighting in your home or workspace as possible. You know, we just want to make sure that your body's fully awake, because if your body's fully awake all day, at night, naturally, it's going to want to rest itself. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to go into the night part. So I know all of us love iPads, cell phones, Instagram, Facebook,
yes,
reading, Kindles, all of those electronics. They are very accessible now, and they're all over our home. Well, I would like to say that I have been testing this, but for the 2 hours before you go to bed, try to avoid screens with, so that means your cell phone, your TV, your computer, some other devices. Some of the Kindle Fires and iPads have backlighting, which disrupts your sleeping habit, but they do have a Kindle Paperwhite or Nook Glow Light, which is actually easier on your eyes and able for your body to adjust. And the reason for this is because when your eyes see light, it's telling your body to stay awake, because we're meant to sleep at night. And then once your body doesn't see as much light, it naturally wants to go to sleep, so it's easier for you to rest. Also, a warm shower at night helps to relax those muscles. So once you lay down, your body is relaxed, because that's also important. Also, make sure that your room is dark. It's fine to have night lights, but try to go for more of the LED blue lights or the darker color night lights, because the light is what's going to naturally keep you awake when you want to go to sleep. Also, the noise levels, try to keep those down. It's not healthy to sleep with the TV in the background. One, it keeps you awake sometimes. Two, it can give you some really interesting dreams what they're talking about on the TV. So if that's another way to actually get a really good night's rest. And one of the last things is I've tested.
I'm start wrapping it up. So go ahead, Christina.
Okay. One of the last things that I do when I personally go to sleep and that I recommend for other people is actually meditation music. It's calming sounds such as the ocean, moving water, anything that's just really soothing to you personally can actually help you get a really good night's rest as well.
Awesome.
So do
put
you guys
those
have any,
down. and make sure we do get some more rest. That's very important. So do you guys have any final thoughts or anything you want to shout out? Jit, we'll start with you first.
I just want to tell everybody to tune in to all new episodes of Round Hard Radio starting next Tuesday. We are officially in the middle of our season, so make sure you tune in to Round Hard Radio. We are reality radio.
Awesome. Thank you, Jit. Go ahead, Christina. Any final thoughts?
Yes, Jit, I just want to thank you for coming back on the show talking with me. It's always fun to see your perspective and you as well, Sade. And I just want to add one more thing to the last segment. Please keep your room cool. Try it for one night, whether you sleep. And that's about it. Besides,
Christina likes sleeping like it's Christina likes sleeping like it's wintertime everywhere. I am not going for that. For a vocalist, you need, for someone who speaks all the time and sings all the time, it needs to be warm where I sleep, because it keeps your throat soothed and all that good stuff. So you guys are amazing. Thank you so much for calling in. We got to jump right into
next
segment, and I'll chat with you guys soon. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks, Sade. Thanks, Jit.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to get right into our next segment, Tan Candy Style with Tanya Chisholm. She is a stylist and vintage clothing curator for the Tan Candy Vintage Boutique, and she will be teaching you how to identify and develop your personal style. Hashtag Tan Candy Style to ask her questions and join in the conversation. She will be answering a few of your questions and taking your calls live on the show right after our segment. Here, we bring it into the studio. Tanya Chisholm.
Hello. Happy Wednesday. Hi, guys. This is Tanya Chisholm coming at you with another segment of Tan Candy Style. So we are like right in the middle of our series. And our last episode, we talked about cleaning out our closet and getting it ready for all of the new things that you want to bring in to kind of overhaul your style. So that's where we left off. We cleaned out our closet and we made a list of essentials. So we are at step five. And if you want to follow along with me, you can hop on my website. It's tancandy.com, and there's a blog section up at the top. And you just click on that and the very first, the most recent blog post. But anyway, step number five is know thyself and play to your strengths. So now that you have all of the stuff that you're not wearing anymore out of your closet and you have pretty much a blank canvas as opposed to the things that you have kept, what's going to be really important before you go shopping is to know what looks good on you. And I kind of didn't want to make this a step because I just assumed like, oh, people, you know, have lived with themselves forever. They know what looks good on them. But I really take that for granted that some people don't know what looks good on you. And that's going to be really important when you are going shopping, just to make everything like not so overwhelming. So, you know, things like your body type, the kind of materials that you like, the cut of certain garments, all of these things are variables and they contribute as to whether an item looks good on you or not. So nailing down exactly what you feel great in and what looks good on you on your shape is going to be important. Okay, so go back into your closet. Okay, look around at the things that you kept. So the things that you kept, there's a reason for that, whether it's the color, whether it's that a garment looks slimming on you, whatever it is, there's a reason why you kept those garments. So go back into your closet and kind of see what all of those things have in common. And that can likely tell you what kind of things that you look great in. Like for me, I've said it before, but a crop top looks really good on my body type, a crop top and a high-waisted skirt or a high-waisted pants. And that's because I have a small waist. I have kind of like an hourglassy type figure, and it's just a very flattering cut on me. So I automatically know that like a high-waisted skirt with full volume is going to be something that I look amazing in. So I don't have to, when I'm shopping, I don't have to wonder, oh, like what should I get? If I see a high-waisted skirt that has full volume and it's like a gorgeous color and I think I can use it, like that's a good buy for me. So it's important to figure out what these things are. So again, for example, like I really like skirts. So the reason why I like skirts, and this is stuff that you can ask yourself, like, okay, why do I feel great in this outfit? The reason why I love skirts is that I like the way that the material moves as I walk. I like how unfettered my legs feel, so I feel like free and sexy. So that's an important thing to know, so that like if I have to buy pants, which, you know, everyone has to wear pants sometimes, I know what to look for in a pant. So I'm not probably not going to get like a really tight, restrictive pant. I'm going to get like maybe a high-waisted, wide-legged accordion pleat pant that like really feels like a skirt. So there are certain things that you may not know, and that's okay. At this point, like it's okay to just play and to see what kind of things look good on you, but there are certain things you do know. So you know whether you love your legs or not. You know whether you have like a lark chest or a skinny waist. Like those are places that you can start. And then start from there and start exploring what kind of cuts, fabrics, colors, what kind of things look good on you. And again, it's okay not to know, but this is like kind of the time that you play and you figure out what kind of things you like. So the sixth step, after you figure out exactly what you like, what your strengths are, so you can play to them, you are going to go to the mall or wherever it is that you like to shop. And you're really, at this point, really well prepared to go shopping because you have a list of exactly the things that you're missing in your wardrobe, the things that you need in your wardrobe, and then you also have an idea of, you know, what kind of things look good on you, what kind of things you're looking out for. And you know, I always say that this sixth step, for most people is either the most exciting or, like, the most dreaded step ever. And, you know, that's really understandable. Like, shopping, surprisingly, for such a benign activity, it can bring up a lot of outside issues. You know, that thing about shopping as therapy is like no joke. So like it can bring up body image stuff, like financial stuff, like option overwhelms, like having trouble making decisions, things like that. And so, you know, wherever you fall on that spectrum, whether you love to shop or you hate to shop, there are a few things that will make your shopping trip more effective for you. And the first thing is the list. So the list that you made in step four, that thing is going to be like your best friend. Okay, so most likely as you update your wardrobe, you're not going to really do it in one trip. It's going to be a bunch of different trips. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, a lot of times my shopping kind of happens on accident. Like, oh, I'll be passing by a store and this looks cute and I'll just pop in. So I don't really like plan like, okay, on Saturday I'm going shopping. So keeping your list with you in your purse will ensure that like any time that you end up shopping, you know exactly the things that you need. And this is going to be important because buying the things that you need will or having the list will help you avoid buying things that you don't need and keep you from, like, buyer's remorse. So, like, you know, you can feel really good about a purchase that you make when you've already decided ahead of time before you, you know, get into this, like, shopping-fueled frenzy that I often get into, like, buying, like, craze. You've already decided in, like, a rational space that you need black trousers. So when you go and you find a pair of black trousers that you really love, it's not something you feel bad about getting. So keep that list with you. You'll ensure that everything you buy is for a purpose and it's going to fill a specific spot in your wardrobe, and it's not just frivolous. So a lot of times this will help avoid, you know, you having a closet full of kind of junk, frivolous pieces and not having any of the things that you actually need. That's really helpful to me. However, you know, when you're shopping, obviously you can't control the things you see. So I do have a rule. If you find die for a piece that isn't on your list, what I do is I take a picture in it and I put it on hold and then I go home. And then once I go home, I ask myself these three questions. Will I wear this piece often? Is this piece one of a kind? And does it go with a bunch of other things in my closet? And then you can just kind of weigh that, obviously, against the cost. And once you have, like, a sober mind and you're at home, you're really able to answer that question more clearly. Like, if you're still thinking about a piece once you've gone home and you're willing to get back into your car and go to the mall and buy it, then you can say that, like, okay, this is a piece that I really want and I'm going to use. So that's kind of my rule of thumb. So that's the first thing. Stick to the list. My second thing for successful shopping is to invest in what works for you. So having gone through steps 1 through 5, you know, you're aware of, like, what you need, the shapes that look good on you, the cut that looks good on you, the things you want to show off, maybe it's your arms, certain colors that make you feel amazing, and you realize, like, that's a pretty specific list. So it's going to be much easier to make great choices. So when you actually find those things, when you find exactly what you're looking for, buy it in that color and, like, another color. And obviously, you know, this can be a slippery slope. You don't want one skirt in, like, a gazillion different colors. That's tacky. But, you know, for me, if I find a ballerina skirt that's, like, a beautiful fabric and whatnot, and they have it in black and white, you know, why not? I can wear the black anytime and the white anytime. And that really, like, exponentially kind of grows your outfit potential. And it's something that you know you'll wear. Kind of the rule of thumb for me, if it's a staple piece, is, you know, have it in black, white, and then maybe a pop of color. And that's good. You don't need it in any other colors other than that. So invest in what works, stick to your list. And then lastly for shopping is enlist a friend with style. And this is really invaluable. So not only is it super fun to go shopping with your girlfriends, it's also really helpful. You know, if you have a girlfriend who has a sense of style that you even either really like and like kind of want to emulate, or just a friend that you trust, just ask her to be your assist. There's an extra set of eyes and hands, like, on hand. You know, she'll see things that you don't, and it'll be super fun. And then also, it's really great to get an objective perspective on the pieces that you're trying on. So, you know, I have all kinds of hang-ups about my body, like what I like, what I don't like, what I think is, like, you know, whatever. But somebody else may not have that. So they're looking at your body and the garment on your body with a really objective pair of eyes. Now, of course, it's important to feel great and to think that you look great, but you also have to take, you know, how you feel with a little bit of a grain of salt. But, like, maybe if everyone in the store is telling you that this thing looks amazing on you, maybe it looks amazing on you and you should get over it and you're not that and buy the piece, you know? So that's really helpful. And it just always helps to have a trusted second opinion, especially if you've been shopping for a long time. Because I know for me, once I'm shopping for a long time, I get delirious and I start to think anything and everything looks cute, and you don't want that. So definitely enlist a friend with style. And armed with those things, your list, investing in the pieces that work for you, the things that you know that will make you feel beautiful, and then they're going to help your shopping trip be really successful, not arduous, and fun. You'll feel prepared to get exactly what you need for your wardrobe, and you'll avoid a lot of, like, the financial pitfalls of buying things kind of in a shopping frenzy, and you'll be best prepared to get the wardrobe that you deserve. So those are the next two steps. You can tune in the next time, I think April 6th, with our last and final two steps. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this segment. I think we're taking calls after this, answering questions. So if you have any questions, style questions, personal questions, do you want to know my social security number? I'll tell you. Give us a call. Thanks, guys.
All right, everyone. Here is Vanessa Hudgens with Promise. Keep listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Right after this song break, Tanya will be answering a few of your fashion and style questions. We're giving you this song break to get your questions ready. Call in now at 323-693-3043 to chat on air with Tanya and ask her your style and fashion questions after this song. Once again, that's 323-693-3043, and then press 1. We're also going to be taking your questions from our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram pages as well. Go.
What do you think about this? I've been holding it in, now I'm letting it flow. What do you think about this? I'm gonna do my own thing, yeah, I'm flying so low. So don't tell me how it's gonna be on my own, and the thing of it is, there's nothing down here that I'm gonna miss. Cause you're holding me down, I just wanna fly. And there comes a time when I gotta say goodbye to the life that you see me in. Here's where I begin. And I promise myself I ain't nobody, I just wanna be free. And I promise myself even though it don't always come easy, gonna learn from my pain, never explain, do it my way, that's what I say. Promise myself I'm the only one who will believe me. There's a voice in my head telling me, come on, come on, move on. There's a voice in my head telling me I know my vibes from wrong. They say what doesn't kill you can make you strong. Now I know what it means. You can try to bend, but you ain't breaking my dreams. I'll be making mistakes from an open line. I'll be falling down.
Posting the chicest OOTDs on Instagram? Then girl, you have got to check out Tan Candy. Tan Candy is LA's newest, hottest vintage clothing brand, personally curated by stylist and actress Tanya Chisholm. Tan Candy specializes in high-end, funky, fun, one-of-a-kind vintage clothing and amazing statement pieces. We also offer personal and editorial styling services. Check us out online at www.tancandy.com or in person every Saturday from noon to 3 p.m. at Made by Jim Bob's Jewelry Shop in North Hollywood. That's 11114 Magnolia Boulevard. Tan Candy, vintage glamour, and cool girl style. This is Tanya Chisholm from the Tan Candy Style segment, and you're listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. I'm here with Tanya Chisholm, famous actress, stylist, and vintage clothing curator for the Tan Candy Vintage Boutique. She wants to answer your style and fashion questions right now, live on air on the Sade Champagne Show. Call 323-693-3043 and press 1 to chat with Tanya. If you're already on the line, just press 1 so I see you. And we're also going to be answering your questions from Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, too. Make sure you hashtag TanCandyStyle so we can see your questions. All right. And I'm about to give away a free In-N-Out gift card to someone who calls in to the show.
Oh, my God.
I saw someone right now, area code 912-424. I think you pressed 1, and then you didn't. I think I'm going to bring you to the show, and if you don't want to chat, then you don't have to. There's no pressure. Hi, I think you were pressing 1. Did you want to chat with Tanya or me?
Yeah, sure. I've been listening to her. I'm a guy, you know, but there's this girl, like, you know, she's a pop singer, and I'm just an average Joe. But, you know, the design and all. So how would you, you know, dress for a community or someone like that? Hopefully that day comes soon, sooner than later.
Can you say it one more time? How would you dress for what? You're asking, like, for a date?
Yeah, for, you know, like a star, a pop star. So.
Oh,
like
someone you would like to inspire.
Yeah. You know, that would be cool.
Yeah. Well, for me, for a guy, I think it kind of depends on what your personal sense of style is. But for me, for my money, I always love a guy in really nice, well-made jeans, good shoes, and a crisp white tee. Like, I love it. And if you throw a leather jacket on over, more kudos to you. It's, like, laid back, it's chill. But, like, when you're wearing nice shoes, it makes everything look better.
Oh,
okay. And girls notice that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've never really had to go out and impress anybody sometimes. And if this day comes, I'd like to. Don't really know how the questions asked, so I've been listening to the show, and I just wanted to say about these guys, you know, with Bowman and all. I don't know what they get out of this, you know, hurting people like that. And it's good for the people to think. You know, think positive because, you know, good Lord, you know, bless you in all different ways of some sort. Everybody's got the same God. There might be different cultures.
Right.
They got morals, basic morals. So. But these people's got to have to figure it out for themselves to find it within them to make themselves happy because no one can. But it sounds to me like they're directed on anger or jealousy or they're trying to make a statement. But are they making demands? And if they're not, then what are they getting out of this? And this is not going to make them happy. It's going to hurt them. So,
right. You're totally right, and I just want to thank you so much for listening in, and I think that's why I love to be able to do what we do on the Sade Champagne Show, because it's able to help people to have hope and encouragement and to not feel like they have to only be sucked in by whatever is happening, you know. And so I want to thank you for calling. What's your name?
My name's Richard. Richard, awesome.
Thanks, Richard. Are you based in the West Coast area, Richard?
Richard, no, I'm in the mountains. At the time, I'm out of town helping a friend there.
Okay, because I was going to see if you were near In-N-Out. I wanted to give you the In-N-Out gift card, but if they're not near you, I just have to keep listening to the show, and I'll see if there's another prize, one of these episodes I can give to you. But I want to thank you so much for calling in and hope you...
Yeah. Well, I got it. I don't know. Were you talking about a card? I've got a number.
It's an In-N-Out, like a rush. It's like a name of a hamburger place. But I want to thank you so much for calling in to the show. We're going to get to the next question,
but,
and hope you have a great rest of the evening.
You too.
Thank you. All right, Tanya. So I think that's about to wrap up our time tonight. Looks like I'm going to have to push in with someone else to give them a In-N-Out gift card. Guys, I'm giving out 2 In-N-Out gift cards tonight.
I know.
People
I was
love In-N-Out.
Like, maybe I can just press hold and call in for my other
I'll let you get it. much for answering these, for doing your segment tonight and answering the question. Tanya's amazing. She always says stuff that's like fits right in line with what I do, and it didn't happen that way. It's just, you know, we didn't plan it. It just so happens I agree with a lot of the stuff she says, you know, because I, too, don't, you know, buy things really fast. I take my time. Like, I think, okay, is this something I really want? Okay, what about the price? Is this something that's going to be flattering to me?
Well,
and
to clarify, I don't usually do that. I had to make those rules for myself because I'm the person that'll just, like, buy everything, and then you end up with a closet full of junk and, like, no money.
Yeah,
so if you're
so
like
funny.
Me in that way, you have to make rules for yourself.
Exactly. So I want to thank you so much, Tanya. Again, guys, make sure you check her out, Tan Candy Vintage, and you can check out all her social media and see all the amazing things she's doing and where her store is. And she will be back with us on Of the Season. Have a great rest of the night, Tanya.
Thanks, my dear, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, we're going to get into our next segment of the night. This is New Artist Spotlight, where I feature some of my favorite artists. On this week on the show, we have, Tanya, we just finished with her. All right, this week on the show, we have Nyaira Collins. She is a phenomenal, phenomenal young woman. And what I love featuring this segment because these performers are well on their way to being household names if they're not already. She's an award-winning teenage powerhouse music artist, performer, and radio host. She's a dear friend of mine, Nyaira Collins. She's been in the entertainment industry for 14 years, working in theater and many television networks such as NBC, ABC, Fox, Disney, and many more. She's currently hosting her own popular radio show, Nyaira Waves, sponsored by Faces of Success Radio. She's working on her debut album, Shades of Moi, hashtag New Artist Spotlight, to join in the conversation. All right, let's get her into the show. Nyaira, how you doing tonight?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Yay. I'm doing so wonderful. I am ecstatic to feature you on the New Artist Spotlight segment for the Sade Champagne Show.
Oh, man, I'm excited. Thank you so much for having me on the show, and congratulations on your show. And I'm so glad I can be one of the many, many, many artists that are going to be featured on your show.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. So what are you most proud of in your career so far?
One of the most major accomplishments, I would say, throughout my career was singing the national anthem for the State of the Union address on the East Coast, well as working on many sets that you mentioned, like NBC, ABC, Fox. It's always been throughout these 14 years, it's been a crazy experience, and I mostly love the fact that I'm growing so much and learning so much from each experience. So I think even within the crazy ride that I'm having, I'm still learning so much and have so much to grow.
That's awesome. How do you stay confident while working in industries that have been known to tear people down?
I have a really good support system, for one. My mom is like my rock. Aside from being like basically my guide throughout this whole experience, she's always been by my side to help me when I'm always at my in my darkest. And also my fans and my supporters really help me so much to continue to go forth and pursue my dreams. I love you guys so, so, so much. And my support system as a whole really helps me continue forth and keep on pushing.
Definitely. And so tell us about your current project and what you're working on.
Oh, I'm so excited. Shades of Moi is I'm working in the process of continuing and finalizing everything for this year. I should be dropping a single soon, so be on the lookout for that. Shades of Moi overall is Shades of Moi overall, because women are so multidimensional, and we continue to grow as entrepreneurs and have so many talents, and we go through similar experiences, just not always down the same path. So I wanted to share my experience and show that I'm no different from anybody else, and just maybe you can pretty much understand and maybe have the same experiences and listen to my music and really be able to touch everybody. That's what Shades of Moi is all about.
And so as we wrap up your new artist spotlight feature and get ready to play one of your beautiful new original songs, where can people follow you and stay updated with your career and also let them know about your radio show, too, and how they can tune in?
Awesome, yes. You can tune in every Friday from 5 to 7 Pacific Standard Time. The hotline is 718-664-6324. That's my Airwaves radio show, sponsored by Faces of Success Radio. And you can check me out and pretty much keep in touch with me overall on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Nyaira Collins. That's NyairaCollins. And also at NyairaCollins.com.
You are such a classy, sophisticated, down-to-earth, just amazing, fun young woman, and I'm honored to have known you and to continue to get to know you and see your career blossom. I told you from the moment I met you, and I stick to it, that you are legendary and will go down in this industry as legendary, and so I want to have you introduce your song, Addicted, so we can play that live on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Nye. You're tuning into the Sade Champagne Radio Show, and this is my single soon to be coming to you, Addicted. Hope you enjoy.
Wait by the phone, I just can't leave you alone. Constantly hypnotized, baby, completely caught by surprise. How did we catch each other's eyes? This absolutely can't be real. And I mean, between you and I, we're cool, we're fine. Just wishing that you were mine, hoping that you'll make up your mind and figure out what you want, baby. Oh,
Are you looking for a dynamic musical artist, performer, host, or inspirational speaker for your next event? What about a mentor, vocal instructor, or workshop leader for your school, company, or seminar? Contact Sade Champagne for countless professional services that are sure to fit your particular need. She is an in-demand, award-winning, and critically acclaimed musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur who is invited all around the world. She is known for having a powerful voice, turning ideas into action, creating, directing, and executive producing popular, charitable, and inspirational events, and bringing out the gold in others. Her services are for all ages, backgrounds, and environments. Contact Sade Champagne at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. That's spelled sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com, sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com, to book her for your next event or project.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show. Our final segment of the night is Who Wrote That? This is where I feature some of my favorite authors. Tonight I have an amazing lady I met on one of my favorite social media sites, Twitter. Rachel Thompson is the author of the newly released Broken Places, one of Indie Reader's Best of 2015 top books and 2015 Honorable Mention winner in the San Francisco Book Festival and the multi-award-winning Broken Pieces, as well as two additional humor books, A Walk in the Snark and Man Code Exposed. Rachel is published and represented by Book Trope, or is it Troop?
Trope.
There we go. Trope. All right. She owns Bad Redhead Media, creating effective social media and book marketing campaigns for authors. Her articles regularly appear in the Huffington Post, the San Francisco Book Review. I'm having some tongue twisters tonight, but that's okay, guys, because it's a live show and you keep the party going, and many other amazing publications, including Self Publishers Monthly. Not just an advocate for sexual abuse survivors, Rachel is the creator and founder of the hashtag phenomenon Monday Blogs and the live Twitter chat, Sex Abuse Chat, co-hosted with the certified therapist survivor, Bobby Parrish. Shout out to Bobby. She is also the director of the Gravity Imprint for Book Trope, bringing stories of trauma and recovery, fiction and nonfiction, to life. Hashtag Who Wrote That to join in the conversation. Hi, Rachel. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thank you. Sorry, there was just a lot there.
That's okay.
Sometimes you don't realize.
Yeah, it's all good. But this is, it's great for me as a speaker and as a host and everything that I do to be able to work through these tongue twisters and people get to see it or hear it live as it's happening.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to feature you for our Who Wrote That segment on the Sade Champagne Show.
Well, thank you. I'm really thrilled to be here.
So when did you first become a writer?
Well, professionally, I became a writer in about 2007, but I've been writing since I was about 10 years old. I take that back. My first professional, where I was actually paid money, was in a journalism class in college, and our teacher had us send out queries and, you know, taught us how to query for an article. And I was paid $50 for for an article about dolls, which was kind of creepy and weird. But my neighbor had a bunch of Madame Alexander dolls, and she'd been collecting them for years. And so, you know, I was able to take pictures and send them out. And so that was in college. But, you know, actually writing about humor, which was the subject of my first two books that I released back in 2011, I started, you know, sending out messages about that and queries for professional articles back in 2007. And so, and then my blog, I started in 2008. And then the books, of course, released in 2011.
Wow. And so
What is your most favorite thing about being a writer and your least favorite thing and why?
Well, I've always loved writing. For me, it's a wonderful expression of everything that's going on around us. It's my form of art. Words, I think, are, you know, the most wonderful way for us to express ourselves. I mean, it's really interesting because we have, you know, social media, and people may not be reading books, but they're using words to express themselves on social media. So for me, it's a wonderful way to interact with people, whether it's through blogging or articles or books. I just find that books are a way for us to disconnect from the world and really just focus. And I write prose, poetry, essays. I have written some fiction, but that's really not the topics that I'm writing about because I do really focus now on telling my story of in broken pieces and broken places of having been abused as an 11-year-old girl by a neighbor dad. So for me, it was a way for me to tell my story, but not just write some kind of chronological report, but put it in the form of poetry and prose. And so for me, that's what I love so much about writing is that form of expression and art. The most difficult thing I think is that it can be fairly isolating, but that's also what I love about it because I'm kind of introverted. So for me, it's okay, but it can be difficult to just, you know, have it be talking to your cat. I mean, a lot of people really require that, you know, interaction with other people. And a lot of times we really, you know, it's a great way to brainstorm and bounce off of other people ideas. And we do gain from that. So, you know, there is, it is helpful to reach out to other writers.
I found, though, that there's a lot of artists where even though we're social people, we tend to be more introverted than what people think. You know what I mean? Like, they will think that we're such, like, social butterflies, and there's a part of us that is, but there's a big part of us that's, like, really, you know, just, you know, introverted, like you say, and where we'll spend a lot of time by ourselves.
Well, I think it's if you look at the definition of an introvert or an extrovert, it's really where where do you gain your energy? And for an introvert, we typically gain our energy from quiet pursuits, reading, writing, music, of course, is huge for you, I'm sure, as well as for me. Music is a huge part of my creative process. I was actually, I took piano lessons for about, I would say 12 to 15 years growing up, and I learned classical piano, and now I mostly play Beatles songs, but that's irrelevant. but for me, listening to music, particularly strong female singers, that's a huge part of my inspiration. If I'm in a group type situation, like for me, going to Disneyland is extremely stressful because it's huge groups, massive waves of people. That is exhausting to me. Whereas for an extrovert, and my ex-husband is an extrovert, being around huge groups of people is extraordinarily energizing to him. And, you know, he's just completely energized by that and wants to just keep going and going. And, you know, that was a big problem for us. But we didn't, you know, you fall in love, you don't realize those things. So I think for an introvert or an extrovert, it's where do you draw your energy? And learning that is a huge part of the creative process for people.
That's good. And I think I learned recently, Melissa Joy Wood from my show, she and her husband lead the Living with Fearless Joy segment. I recently discovered that I would identify with an ambivert because I am both introverted and extroverted. Like, I could spend a week by myself and be so comfortable, and I wouldn't miss people or anything. And, you know, but then I also enjoy spending time with people. So I can relate to both of them. I love what you talked about. You started already going into a bit of your story. And so when did you first become an advocate for sexual abuse survivors? And please tell us about your Twitter support groups.
Sure. Well, I started telling, I wrote the two humor books, and while it was fun and I enjoyed it, I felt like I was really holding back. And I felt like, you know, the abuse happened when I was 11 and I'm 52 now. And I felt like it was around 2012, 2013, an old a boyfriend of mine committed suicide. And obviously very unexpected. And it was devastating to me. And it really opened up something in me. And I had always journaled. I'd done that for years and years and years. And I looked at some of our old, my old journals, and some of the, he had reconnected with me and we had been talking, and it really just was this flood of emotion. And I'd never really had to deal with grief before. You know, my grandmothers had passed, of course, but you know, it's a different kind of grief though when you you deal with somebody much younger who had a life ahead of them, and it's someone that you had loved on that level. So I really just started writing down a lot of my feelings, and a friend of mine who knew about the abuse, I told very, very few people, because the shame and the fear for a survivor is just a huge, huge burden. And I had been through therapy, and I mean, I'd done everything as an adult. As a child, nothing. My parents, it happened in the 70s, and my parents, while loving and supportive, really did not know what to do or how to handle it. They just really had no idea. And so it was just not talked about. And it wasn't until I was an adult that it really all started to come out, with the post-traumatic stress disorder and the hypervigilance and the depression and the anxiety. And I really had no idea that this was all related to the abuse. I just, I couldn't connect the dots, migraines, just everything. And so I just started writing it all out. And it was like, that was the, you know, the straw, basically, the suicide of the ex. And then I started some intense therapy and really understood how it all connected for me. And the therapist, who was a survivor herself, was able to say, this is so common. People just don't realize it. And when I put out the first book, which is called Broken Pieces, it was in late 2012, early 2013. It is still number one on the women's poetry on Amazon. It is number two on women authors. It was shocking to me. I kind of thought, I'm going to put this book out and people are just going to kind of think, oh, you know, another sort of rape culture, you know, we're not going to believe it. The thing was, though, I think that really helped propel the book was I did testify in two trials against this man. One was a civil trial and one was a military trial. The sad part, I guess, for so many survivors is he only got 2 years, and I had to continue living next to him and his family for another 8 years.
Oh, man.
And so the effects of that are what I write about in the book. And again, not really understanding, you know, back in the 70s, early 80s, we didn't really have that kind of comprehension. There were no terms like PTSD or rape culture. Those didn't exist. And so it really wasn't until I had my daughter, who is almost now 17, that I went into anxiety and depression, trying to understand, how was I going to keep her safe? How was I going to not let this happen to her? What happened to me? And so all of these things ended up in my book, because I wanted to share with people what I experienced and the journey that I went on. And the response was just really unbelievable. I had no idea that people would even notice my book. I kind of, you know, like you said, we're introverts. We kind of do our own thing. I was sitting in my office with my cat and my coffee, writing my book. And, you know, I put it out there, and I got just massive amounts of emails and private messages and DMs from people. And I thought, I need to do something with this. But what? I'm not a psychologist. I don't pretend to be one. How can I help people? I just felt this compulsion to help other people, but how? And a friend of mine who does a Twitter chat said, start a chat. And my interest in doing that was twofold. One is I love Twitter. It's been a huge, huge part of my success. And the other part is that it's public. And I think that the most important part for a survivor is to remove the shame and the fear. And if we talk about these things on Twitter, they are public, as opposed to hiding behind some kind of secret little group in Facebook, which I do have a secret group in Facebook because some people, it's got almost 100 members. Some people are just not ready to talk about it. They're very fragile.
Yeah. I think they're both highly effective. Like you said, there's a time for, and we can't determine what it is for each person, but there's a time, like you said, for privacy, and there is also a time for putting it all out there.
And I think that you can weigh both of those, and I think some people are much more honest about things. It's almost like sitting next to a stranger on an airplane ride. You tell them your life story because you know you'll never see them again. I think sometimes people are much more honest on Twitter as opposed to in the private group without revealing anything because they're very protective of our group. But I think that by removing that shame, by speaking about it in a group community kind of way, by starting sex abuse chat, it's every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and I'm so thrilled that you joined us. And we have a different topic every week, and I wanted to team up with a therapist because I felt it was important that it be grounded in those those philosophies that I don't have in my background. I know what I believe, but I also feel like it needs to be tempered by somebody who can say, okay, this is serious. You need to go get help. And again, we're group support. We're not therapy. And we're very clear about that. If somebody is teetering on the edge of something major, we say, here are some support resources. Go get professional help. But, you know, every week, Bobby Parrish is my co-host, and she's amazing. She is a survivor, and she is fully trained as a therapist, and she's actively working as a therapist in dealing with survivors. And she's wonderful, and she does prep work every week. And her personal platform, I'm thrilled to say, has really expanded. She helps people in the UK. She has a site of trauma resources as well. Sorry, I'm going on and on, but I just think it's just helped so many people, which is something I never expected, but I'm thrilled about.
Right. And so where can people buy your recent most published book, Broken Places?
On Amazon. I actually have Broken Pieces and Broken Places available on Amazon in both ebook and print from BookTrope, which is my publisher. And then if you want both books, you can purchase the ebook versions in a collection called The Broken Collection at a discounted price. I think it's $6.99. Both books are $4.99 for ebook, and I think they're like $12. I don't set the pricing for print.
Yeah.
So, you know, it makes sense if you just want the ebook version, get them both for $6.99. I mean, it's a good deal.
Awesome.
And I'm writing Broken Places right now. Just want to throw that in there.
Yes,
Broken People. Broken People. I'm writing Broken People.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Awesome. No, that's okay. Go ahead. All right. So I'm just double checking. Do you see any questions on your timeline? I'm looking on my timeline to see if we have any questions. And if not, we will continue in with our discussion.
I'm looking
if anyone
right
has anything they want to ask. Okay. We have people listening in, but I don't think they have any questions because they haven't pressed one yet.
Do you have the chat window open on your Blog Talk Radio? Do you open that up?
I don't typically use that, but I know some of my other hosts do, but I can open the window right here because it's a mixture between, it's opening up right now. Because there's a mixture between with my Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It is very busy on all of them together.
I get it.
Because I do live chatting with the show at the same time. So people, tune in that way as well. But this is cool because one of the executive producers has been sharing with me. He's like, Sade, use the chat sometimes too. And I'm like, thank you for the reminder.
I do a show on Wednesdays in the afternoon. And we usually have the chat window. That's why I asked.
Awesome. Well, it's a good reminder. Yeah. I don't see any questions as of right now, but I do have, let me see, you share with us what you're currently working on and your happenings. Okay, I do have, I guess would say more of a comment, but probably the question too. But I think it's interesting that the rise of PTSD and anxiety and different types of, I don't want to use the word mental illness because that's, I don't want to, I want to be very sensitive. And these are things that I've dealt with in my life. So I feel like I can also speak on these things too and have an understanding. But I feel like it's interesting that, mental struggles and emotional struggles. I feel like it's crazy that there's been a rise in the diagnosis of these things, but there's also a rise in people dealing with a lot of traumatic things that people are just finding out about. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's interesting, and it's finally just been forever that people are starting to understand that the traumatic things that people have been through in certain circumstances definitely affect their mental health and their emotional stability.
I think that a lot of times, number one, a lot of these things were never spoken about before. If you look back at what's probably your grandmother's generation, for me, it's my parents' generation. These were things they would never, ever talk about. It was just not done. And for a lot of people, for example, I direct a gravity imprint for Book Trope now. And they came to me, this is another part of just telling my story and creating this platform, they came to me and said, we would love to have you expand on this platform and help other trauma survivors tell their story. So now I have, if people want to go to gravityimprint.com and look at the books, there's about 20 books out now of all kinds of trauma and recovery stories from people with epilepsy to cancer to, it's not just sexual abuse. But none of this kind of stuff was ever spoken about because, you know, you kept it in the family. You know, God forbid somebody had to go to jail because that was the ultimate shame on the family. And I have one gal who I think would be a great guest for you. Her name is Christy Lynn Abram. And she's African-American and she was abused. And she was saying, and she wrote this book called Little Miss Somebody, and she said in the urban community specifically, it is not discussed. And she was given a very hard time for coming out with her story. So she ended up kind of doing a veiled, fictionalized account because of it. And even then, people have disowned her because she dared to discuss the fact that she was abused as a child. And it's so sad to me that telling our truth, we are not the ones, we didn't sexually abuse ourselves, right? But here we are being truthful about it. And in some cases, there were cases, people went to jail. So it's not like we made it up, you know?
Right. And I want to let everyone who's listening in, if you're listening in over the phone, you'll be able to stay tuned into the show, I believe. But those of you who are listening to the link, we're going to go over a few minutes tonight. But as soon as the show is finished, you'll be able to hear the entire episode. So if it cuts you off and you're listening online, it's okay. The full episode will be up soon. But I want to just finish this chat with Rachel, and I want to play a very special song for you guys so you'll be able to listen to the full episode. But I think that's really interesting how you said, because a lot of people think that it's only in the African-American community and people of color where there's a lot of shame and everything is kept quiet. But I think it's really good to hear you saying it as a Caucasian woman, that it's just as much shame and secrecy that's put in your community as it would be in the African-American community as well. And I don't know where people get this stuff from. Like you said, it's like, we can't, like, shame is like one of the biggest killers of people's destiny. And I think it is something that makes people sick and it makes people, you know, ill in so many ways, you know?
Yeah, it absolutely does. I was just talking today, I shared an article about a woman in Spain who was asked by a judge if she if she didn't, why didn't she close her legs as she was being raped?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Are
this
you kidding
was a
me?
Female, this was a female judge who asked her this.
Wow. Wow.
And my Twitter and my Facebook just exploded. And people
were so upset
about this. And yet there's still that group. I still had one guy. They're called MRAs. I don't know if you've heard this term, men's rights activists, who said, oh, she just made it up. She just wanted attention. And they feel that rape culture is made up and that women just want it and that rape should be legal. But these people exist. And,
it's
insane to me. And so, but I have to share with this. If you go to my Twitter, which is Rachel in the OC, and you look at the pinned tweet that I have, it's the number one pin on my Pinterest board. I'm everywhere. But I mean, I do teach social media. That's my business too, because I'm at Bad Redhead Media is my business.
Right.
But my number one pin and my number one tweet, it has almost 1,000 retweets, which is amazing to me. I talk about surviving CSA, which is childhood sexual abuse, because I didn't want to be ashamed anymore. Children don't sexually abuse themselves. And I think that has really hit home for, I don't think it matters what color your skin is or what, where you live, how much money you make. I mean, it doesn't discriminate. Sexual abuse does not discriminate. It doesn't matter if if your parents made millions or you come from abject poverty. It happens no matter where you live. And it's so sad that is why I'm so passionate about encouraging people to talk about it. And my mantra is to write what scares you. And you'll see me put that in a lot of different tweets, whether it's on Rachel in the OC or Bad Redhead Media. And I actually coach people, whether they're survivors or not, to really dig deep and tell your story. Because if you don't feel it when you write it, we will not feel it when we read it. And there's no shame in that. There's no shame in sharing your story because it's your right to tell it. And that's
exactly.
So important.
Exactly. And so I want to encourage everyone who's listening, and if those of you who know anything about me or have heard me speak or got any of my performances before, I want to let you know as well that you are not what happened to you. You are not, those things do not define you. Your past doesn't define you. Your trauma doesn't define you. Even though those things are a part of your story, and as Rachel and I talk about, you don't have to be ashamed about your story. You also don't have to feel like that's the only part of who you are. There's so many other parts of you and that make up the amazing being that you are. We just want to encourage every person to get help if you've been through any type of traumatic situation. There's all different types of abuse in this world. We want to encourage you to get help. I want to encourage you to tune in to her social media chat and stay updated with Rachel because she is a phenomenal woman. And I'm excited to have had you on the show tonight. Make sure you go and check out her brand new book, Broken Places. I think it's even, it's fitting for us to end the show with a special song. But I want to thank everyone who tuned in tonight. I want to thank you for downloading, subscribing, and sharing my radio show. As we wrap up tonight's special episode of the Sade Champagne Show, thanks to Grindhard Radio for the opportunity to create my own radio show. Thanks to Travis Miller for creating and producing my theme song and to Scott Swish for mixing the song. Thanks to my guests, Jit Chronicles, Nyara Collins, and the beautiful Rachel Thompson. Thanks to my castmates, Veronica Esquivel Winters, Christina Renee, and Tanya Chisholm. Next week is our second special two-hour episode of the season. This episode will be focused on women and young girls. We're going to talk about a lot of the things that Rachel and I have been chatting about tonight. We're going to be discussing everything from spirituality, health, wellness, career, relationships, body image, and all things dreams related. My special guest is Dynamic Love Ministries pastor and one of my favorite grace speakers, Don Warner, along with my castmate, Melissa Joy Wood, from the Living with Fearless Joy segment. We want to answer your questions about men, relationships, building confidence, God, fear, healing, and more. We also have a brand new charity spotlight segment where we'll be raising awareness about the Grizzly Youth Academy. It's sure to be an encouraging, transformative, and empowering episode. Our final song of the night is Candace Glover with I Am Beautiful. Thanks for listening to the Sade Champagne Show, and see you next Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time right here on Grindhard Radio.
Hi, this is Melissa Joy Wood with the Living with Fearless Joy segment on the Sade Champagne Show, and you're listening on Grindhard Radio.
Releasing the stress, we were born to shine.